news time.
Thanks, Josiah. Thanks for reading, guys. It's great to be here. It was great to play that game earlier. It's great to have the Bible open now. And so make sure that you've got the Bible open so that you can see what I'm saying is what God is saying. Because I want to help you know and love Jesus and not just kind of be here along for the ride, if that makes sense. Have you ever had the experience where you're on TikTok or Facebook or Reddit or whatever late at night and you see someone share their opinion and you're like, come on. Like, Who gives you the right to say that kind of thing? Who gave you the authority to have this attitude? Here's an example. Someone's like, I love country artists like Taylor Swift. And someone else says, she's not even country anymore. She's sold out. Excuse you, Taylor Swift is everything. You have no right to say that. Or another example, Maria told Jeff he wasn't allowed to be in the Spanish club because he wasn't even a native speaker. We see people kind of wielding power over who gets into a certain group or who doesn't. We see people kind of excluding others. We see people kind of claiming authority for themselves so that they can kind of be in control of what's going on. And this is a general idea called gatekeeping, claiming authority for yourself. Let me give you one more example. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? These guys, these teachers of the law, they're giving Jesus major side eye. Did I say it right? Side eye? Yeah, so true. I'm the best. Youth minister. They're using their authority to say that he can or can't do certain things. They're using the authority that they've kind of claimed for themselves to say, Jesus can't do this. Jesus isn't allowed to do X, to do Y, and to do Z. Who gives them the right? They're gatekeeping who Jesus is. Now, the secret is from Mark 2 and from what we know from the rest of the Bible that Jesus actually does have the authority. Jesus does these things because of the authority he has, and that authority will change you and me forever. So let's jump in. Point one, if you're taking notes, this is point one. People are interested in meeting Jesus. We see that Jesus has been pretty popular. He's been going around, he's been healing the sick, he's been giving sight to the blind, he's been cleansing people of their leprosy, he's been teaching, he's been saying really, really incredible and dramatic things, and people have started to take notice. People have heard, maybe this is the Messiah. Maybe this is the guy that we've been waiting for. And at the start of our passage today, we see people are absolutely crowding around Jesus to the point where they can barely fit in a house. Have a read with me, Mark 2, 1 to 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Picture yourself there. These people have all heard about Jesus. They've heard that maybe someone's friend's grandma saw him like heal this guy of leprosy. So they want to see what he has to say. And so picture yourself, you're standing there. You're in this weird little clay home in first century like Israel. And you're like sardined in. It's a hot day. You're hoping someone invented deodorant a few hundred years earlier. And all of a sudden, you're trying to listen to Jesus and something just like falls on your head. You're like, hang on, what's that? And you look up and you see a few men digging a hole in the roof. These men digging a hole in the roof and lowering their friend down on a mat to place him at the feet of Jesus. Verse 4. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. These people had heard of the hype of Jesus. These people had understood what was going on. And I wonder if these people and the reaction that these people have is something that you have. I wonder if you have been just as intrigued about Jesus. Maybe you've grown up in church and have kind of heard the story of Jesus walking on water. Maybe your grandparents have told you the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Maybe at chapel, or maybe at a scripture or something like that, you heard that Jesus died and rose again for you. And there's something intriguing about that. Because if this man Jesus is really telling the truth about these things, and if he really did all of these things, then you would want to listen to every single thing that he says. These people are crazy. They're so desperate to get to Jesus. And so we're expecting this healer to heal. Point two, Jesus has authority over sin and sickness. Jesus heals this man. They lower him down, and the first words that come out of Jesus' mouth are, "I heal you." Read with me, verse 5, because that didn't happen. They lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We've been waiting for Jesus to heal, and he doesn't. This means one of two things. Either Jesus is really rude and careless and not good at reading the room, and so like doesn't actually heal this guy, or Jesus sees that there's something else that is going on. He sees that there is a deeper problem, and here's a hint, it's that one. Jesus sees this man who hasn't been able to walk since birth, and he has compassion on him. He sees this man's deepest need. He sees the way that this man has lived for himself instead of for God, and that this man is living in sin. And so he forgives him. And it's this attitude that makes the teachers of the law so angry and so indignant and want to keep Jesus. Like, they've got a pretty good idea of what God can do and who's allowed to kind of represent God. And they know that only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins because sin is against God. Sin's a huge problem back then and a huge problem today. And someone in my, I spoke on this passage at a conference earlier this year, and I was like, someone in my scripture class told me this once. And then that girl came and told me, and she's like, it was me. So it was a girl called Eleanor at St. Ives High School. And she showed me this acronym, which I've shared before here, I think. But sin is saying, shove off God. I'm in charge, not you. It's not just kind of doing one or two bad things. While those things that we do might grieve us and we might see the physical consequences of the sin that we do, the real problem is this rejection of God's love, of God's goodness, of God's grace, and of God's kindness. And this is the problem that we have, where this entire world chooses to live as enemies of God through our words and our thoughts and our actions. And so when Jesus sees this man, Jesus doesn't just see that he can't walk. Jesus sees that he is dead. And so Jesus forgives him. When the teachers of the law slam Jesus for claiming to forgive sin, they're gatekeeping the forgiving of sin, because like I said earlier, only God can forgive sin because sin is against God. You can't forgive someone. You can't forgive something on behalf of someone else. Here's a drawing I did on my iPad to try and explain it. Here's me in the bottom left. Here's Josh Irving. And here's Erica. Let's just imagine I'm walking randomly somewhere in DY at Unit 1134 The Crescent, DY 2099, New South Wales. And Josh Irving from his house goes, "Hey Josh, you look like Harry Potter." I'm like, "Oh, see? Sad tears. Josh, believe me. How dare you do that, Josh? That's really sad." But, like, we're sad, whatever. But imagine if Erica then goes, "It's okay, Josh. I forgive you." What right does Erica have? Erica, come on. What right would Erica have to forgive something that Josh Irving said to Josh Hayward? Only I would be able to forgive Josh if the sin was against me, if the thing that was done was against me. Now, using this same image, we can see why it would be unfair for Jesus to forgive sin if he wasn't God. We sin against God. We hurt God. But Jesus forgives us. Jesus is able to forgive us because Jesus has the authority of God. The authority of the creator of the heavens and the universe, the authority of everyone ever. We see in verse 10 that Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. Verse 10. The Son of Man, I did this that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man is Jesus' like favorite name for himself. We see that a bit throughout the Bible. And Jesus can deal with our sin and forgive it because it is against him. He has the right to represent God and to say, I forgive you, and to do something about our sin because he cares for us. He knows our greatest need. He knows that we come to him with more of a problem than just a physical ailment. The physical thing is a symptom of the spiritual reality. And so to the crippled man here in Mark 2 this evening, Jesus says, I forgive you. And this evening, to you, he holds out the same offer. Jesus has the right to forgive and deal with your sin. He cares for you. Anyone can just say, I forgive your sins. But Jesus shows that he actually did by healing this man. He tells this crippled man to take up his mat and to walk. Think about how outrageous that would be if he didn't actually have the power to heal him. Picture yourself here again. You've watched this man lowered through the ceiling. You've heard Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. He's dealt with his problem. And Jesus says, just get up. Just walk. Just feel better. You can't tell someone who's blind just to see. You can't just tell someone who's crippled, just get up. That's exactly what Jesus did. And see how this man responds. He got up. He took his mat and he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Anyway, this is incredible. Jesus' authority over sin is proven by his authority over the sickness and the suffering. He showed that he has power over the sickness by dealing with the sin that has caused it. The sin that is this man's greatest problem, that is our greatest problem, that as this world we live in has been corrupted by ourselves, Jesus has the authority to deal with it. So this evening, as Jesus heals, he shows he has the authority to deal with the problem. We have a serious problem, yet in Jesus we have a serious solution. Because Jesus uses his authority to forgive our sin. Point three, if you're taking notes. Jesus uses his authority to forgive our sin. When you hear the words from Jesus, I forgive you, I wonder how you feel about that. I wonder if deep down you believe him. I'm a people pleaser by nature. Like, it's crippling sometimes. I will go to Macca's and I will order like something and they will give me something else and I will say thank you, and then I'll walk to the car and cry later. I won't ever like take a meal back saying this is the wrong thing to do, because I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to upset anyone. And if you're anything like me, you'll be able to relate that if you hurt someone, you have to make it up to them. If you hurt someone in a relationship, in a friendship, if you disrespect your parents, you want to earn back their respect, kind of thing. You want to earn back the right to be in that friendship, in that relationship. And I think, for me at least, that shapes the way that I treat God. Often I will hear, I'm forgiven. But then I'll try and earn my way back. Like, I'll say, thanks Jesus, I've got it from here. I wonder if you have the same attitude. I wonder if a friend says to you, I forgive you, you trust them. But more importantly, I wonder if Jesus says, I forgive you, you trust him. Senior, are you really going to believe that Jesus has the authority to forgive your sin? To forgive your sin. Verse 10 again, I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Forgiveness means it's done. Forgiveness means it's dealt with. Forgiveness means the debt is cleared. What's going to be your response? Will you trust the authority of Jesus enough to believe him when he says, I forgive you? Or will you say thanks and then keep worrying about it and trying to do it all on your own? Jesus doesn't gatekeep the authority that he has. He doesn't need to forgive us. He joyfully does, because he cares and he wants to use his authority of being the king over everything ever to forgive you. To you. He says, I forgive you. I love you. I care for you. I died for you. Even you who feels you're so broken that no one can fix you. Even you who thinks you can't do anything right. Even you who tries to pretend you've got it all together, but the stress of keeping up the illusion is getting you to you. All of you, Jesus says, I forgive you. Even for those of us who don't see the problem of our sin yet, Jesus holds out this offer of forgiveness. Come to him. He loves you. He cares for you. Come to him with the same faith as this crippled man and his friends, knowing that Jesus has the authority to deal not just with a few things, but with our biggest problem and with our deepest need. Sin can and is dealt with because Jesus forgives us. How good is that news? I'm going to invite the band up, and while they come up, I'm going to pray, so please join with me. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is the King over everything. We thank you that he's not gatekeeping anything because he has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Our Father, help us to trust Jesus when he says, I forgive you. Help us to live lives of gratitude. Help us to believe him. And help us to help others hear this life-changing news as well. We thank you for the work of Jesus, our King. Amen.